here. And the title of the talk is Standard and Fractional Reflecting OU Processes in Connection to Square Root of CIR Processes. Please, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the introduction, and my thanks to organizers of the workshop and of all this event for the nice possibility to be here even in online and to present the talk. Concerning the processes that we will discuss, of course, all classes of these processes are very well known. Ornstein-Uhlenbeck reflected Ornstein-Uhlenbeck, fractional reflected Ornstein-Uhlenbeck, Coxinger-Sol-Ross processes. However, it was surprising to establish some new relations between them. In general, we started with fractional counterparts. However, then we discovered that some interesting new relations between standard processes can be established. So this is a joint work with Anton Yurchenko-Titarenko. He is our common PhD student with me and Julia Dinuno. And let us start. So let us introduce the notion of reflection. Intuitively, it is very clear, even for non-random continuous functions. If the function starts at zero from some positive value, then the reflection begins when it achieves zero, if it achieves. But interesting things can happen only if the function is not smooth in the sense that let it be continuous, however, not differentiable, not Lipschitz, and so on. So let us consider some stochastic process. And by the definition, the process, let it be psi, the process zeta is called the reflection function for psi. If zeta is with probability one, a continuous non-decreasing process, starting from zero, and such that the points of growth of zeta can occur only at zeros of psi. From the very beginning, it is not clear if the reflection function exists for some stochastic process. However, of course, we shall consider structured stochastic processes, and in this connection, we can give the next definition. So stochastic process, it will be with wave for the moment. Stochastic process Y with wave is called the reflected Ornstein-Uhlenbeck process if it satisfies the stochastic differential equation of the following form. It starts from some point. Then we have standard linear part and standard additive noise with Wiener process. And here is a reflection function. Here, all constants are positive, including the starting point. And we assume that the resulting process is non-negative, of course. In this case, we can say about reflection. What is interesting? It is well known, of course, but it is interesting that despite this equation, it consists of two unknown functions, y with wave and l with wave. However, we can state that the solution of this equation and solution is a couple of processes exists and is unique. So we have reflected Ornstein-Uhlenbeck standard one. Okay. I shall not say something in favor of such processes. Here are some reference why it is really important for some applications. And let us go to Coxinger-Sol-Ross process. It is another non-negative process. So reflected Ornstein-Uhlenbeck, of course, is non-negative. And Coxinger-Sol-Ross also is. What is this? So classical Coxinger-Sol-Ross process is the process that satisfies the stochastic differential equation of the following form. So here we have linear part. Here we start from some positive non-random value, standard initial value will be non-random every time. And here we have square root. Why square root? The idea was the following, that in many applications, it is not very natural to consider additive noise. It is small. It is also not natural to consider linear x of s here, because it is big. It is too big at infinity. But something between. Of course, there can be not square root, but some other power bigger than 1/2. But let us fix 1/2.
Something happened.
Do you hear me? Excuse me, something happened? So can I continue? Please inform me if I can continue, if everything is okay. Okay. So let me continue. What about this process? What we know about this process? We know that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the sound.
Let me get that.
Oh, sorry.
So. Came back. Oh, any problem?
Now it came back, maybe. It's back. Yeah, okay, the sound back.
Oh, knock.
Sorry. Enough. So you can hear, but.
She can it's like on and off. I think she can work.
I see my screen. I don't know what do you see and if you hear me, because I have no feedback from listeners. So again, can I continue with the, please reply to me if you see my screen and if you hear me.
We can hear you in the Zoom session, just not in the main room for some reason.
So no problem with my talk.
The people in the lecture theater cannot hear you for some reason.
There is a problem in the main room. I see.
I know, this will only take a few seconds.
So please inform me when I can continue.
Now you're back. Now you can continue. Now you're okay.
Okay, thank you very much. So I repeat again. We proceed with Cox-Ingersoll-Ross process. Okay, what is this? Here we have a square root, because square root is something between additive noise and linear function. Linear function is too big, additive noise is in some sense too small, and the square root is something between them. Of course, we can take any power more than 1/2. However, let us fix 1/2 for this talk. So we have the process of the following form. What is well known? If A is positive, then Cox-Ingersoll-Ross process is non-negative with probability 1. Simply A is positive. But if A exceeds or equal this value, sigma squared divided by 2, then the process the equality can be included. Then the process takes only positive value with probability 1 and does not hit 0. So one crucial point is the relation between A and sigma of the following form. Okay, now it is well known the following. Coxinger Solros process has strong links with the standard, non-reflected on Stendhalling back dynamics. In particular, if we have a d-dimensional Brownian motion, and u to be the standard d-dimensional on Stendhalling back process of the following form, without any reflection, simply some on Stendhalling back process. Then it is easy to see via Itô formula that the process of the following form, summa of the squares, is the Coxinger Solros process of the following form, but with A that equals D sigma squared divided by four. And with a special Wiener process. It is also a standard Wiener process by Lévy characterization, but it is constructed from all of them. We have another crucial point. The value for A divided by sigma square is sometimes referred to as a dimension or a number of degrees of freedom of Coxinger-Solros process. And in this terminology, a square of a standard one-dimensional Stendhalling back process is Coxinger-Solros process with 1 degree of freedom, but with respect to another Brownian motion. So if we have standard Stendhalling back process and take it square, then we have we get 1 degree of freedom Coxinger-Solros process, but with another Brownian motion. This is an interesting moment. Okay, so we get another interesting point. If we consider only one-dimensional processes, then the crucial point for Coxinger-Solros process is A that equals sigma squared divided by four. So the process with 1 degree of freedom. So in the first part of this talk, we investigate the connection between Coxinger-Solros and reflected or Stendhalling back process in the following form. So we are interested in this border value, 1 degree of freedom. And we establish that reflected or Stendhalling back process coincides with the square root of the Coxinger-Solros process driven by the same Brownian motion. So when we take square root, we can leave the same Brownian motion. When we take square, we go to another Brownian motion. Moreover, we can obtain a new representation of the reflection function of the reflected on Stendhalling back process as a almost sure uniform limit on some functionals of Coxinger-Solros processes. It was the first question for our consideration because we had a special function, I shall demonstrate it. And it was interesting what will be with this special function when the parameter tends to zero. So what I have in mind. Now something concerning memory phenomenon, but let I skip this because of lack of time. And only mention that this talk is based on the following papers. And let us proceed with the results. So let we have again reflected on Stendhalling back process with standard Wiener process. And here is a reflection function. What is known? Some representations of this reflection function. One of the representation is the following. It is the supremum of, if we subtract in natural way this one from y, and take a negative part. This is the first possibility. Another possibility is the connection with local time. So, so-called local time representation. Also, this is Coxinger-Solros process that we considered above, so we know everything about it. Okay, now what is the first result? Let we have Coxinger-Solros process AX and the square root of it Y, and let for the moment A exceed sigma squared divided by four. Then we can state the following. This functional, We obtain it immediately when we get the square root. It is absolutely clear from Itô formula. So this functional, if A exceeds sigma squared divided by 4, is finite almost surely for all t. And square root process satisfies the following stochastic differential equation. So here we have positive coefficient. Here we have a special drift. And this is a crucial point. The drift of such form is a crucial point for the class of such equations. Here we have linear drift as usual, and here we have additive noise. So if not this term, we will have Ornstein-Lundberg process. However, we understand clearly that it is impossible because y is non-negative. So this term gives this process some drift upstairs and permits it to be non-negative. This is the first result. The second result is when we have this limiting point A equals sigma squared divided by 4. So this is some limiting point for A. In this case, let us denote as tau the first heating moment of 0. And we, despite and contrary to the previous case when we have this integral finite, we have this integral is finite, including moment tau. However, immediately after tau, it is infinite almost surely, and here is almost surely. This is for any point after tau. And moreover, the square root process y satisfies the stochastic differential equation of the following form. So it is reflected Ornstein-Lundberg process. This theorem demonstrates that we have some limiting point when this coefficient tends to zero, and we understand that in some sense this integral tends to infinity. And now it is interesting to check what will be when indeed we have the sequence of equations when this coefficient tends to zero. So this is the sense of the next theorem. Let we have again standard Brownian motion, again all positive constant, and some sequence, of course, non-random sequence that tends to zero. Let for any epsilon n from this sequence, we consider the Coxinger-Solros process. You see here, we have this limiting point plus epsilon n. So we go to this limiting point from the right. I can immediately say that we don't know exactly what would be to the left. We only formulate the close and perfect, in some sense, result only to the right. What will be to the left, it is an interesting open problem. However, if we go to the limiting point from the right and consider the corresponding sequence of solutions of stochastic differential equations of Coxinger-Solros type, then with probability one, we have the following. We have the limit of these processes. It is clear because the drifts are monotonic. We have the limit, of course, for square roots. It is also clear. And what is interesting, the limit process y is a reflected Ornstein-Lundberg process satisfying the equation of the following form that we fixed. But also, we can state that the sequence of these square roots tends to y. And moreover, this reflecting function is the limits, is limit of this, terms. So the balance is such that this coefficient tends to zero, integral in some sense tends to infinity. And in the limit we have here, you see this tends to zero and integral in some sense tends to infinity. And we have such a situation that the whole process tends to reflection function. So this is the relation between Coxinger-Solros processes and the reflected or standard Lindbergh process. Okay. What about another characterization of the reflection function? Let we have some standard Brownian motion and the standard Tonstein-Lindbergh process. By Itô formula, if we take its square, of course, we have the following equation. But every time when we take square, we go to another Wiener process. This is another Wiener process. This is also, we can state, of course, that it is also a Wiener process. And so the square is, you see, it is a Coxinger-Solros process. So as we have seen, the square root of intern of Coxinger-Solros process is a reflected Tonstein-Lindbergh of the following form. And so we have the Tonstein-Lindbergh process, Coxinger-Solros process, that is the square, square root of the following form. And by Tanaka formula, finally, it is very easy to check that this square root satisfies the following by Tanaka formula, we get the equation with local time. So here we have local time. And finally, comparing the equations for y and for this square root, we obtain that our reflection function is for this reflected Tonstein-Lindbergh process coincides with local time at zero of the Tonstein-Lindbergh process u. So this is a characterization. And as we have seen, the crucial point is 1 degree of freedom when A equals to sigma square divided by four. Okay. Now, what about fractional processes? The processes with memory. In this case, I can say immediately that the crucial point will be, this limiting point will be not sigma square divided by four, but simply zero, because of different form of Itô formula. And moreover, we shall concentrate on the case when h is more than 1/2, because the same as in the Coxinger-Solros case, for a less than sigma square divided by four, we have some unknown area. The same if h is less than 1/2, we have also some unknown area for the moment. So let us consider fractional reflected Tonstein-Lindbergh process. Here, there is no ambiguity. We consider Tonstein-Lindbergh process, and here is the reflection function. The same as in a standard case. Here we have fractional case because of fractional Brownian motion. And of course, we can consider this process can be considered for any h. There is no problem because we have no term of the form something divided by y. We have simply linear term and additive noise. So we can state that like in standard case, the solution of this equation exists and is unique. Okay. Now, what about the definition of fractional Coxinger-Solros process? It should be approached more carefully because we have the integral with respect to fractional Brownian motion, and we should guarantee its existence. So in standard case, we have the following Coxinger-Solros process, everybody remembers, and its square root satisfies the following equation. We consider in a standard case a case when this bracket is positive. And what we do, we start not from this equation because we don't know what to do with this integral, but we start from the equation of the type three or this equation for the square root. But we substitute the standard Brownian motion by fractional Brownian motion. So the resulting equation has additive noise. And in this case, there is no problem with the integration with respect to fractional Brownian motion. However, of course, this is a problem with this integral. This coefficient can be replaced with some value. We don't need to denote it in such complicated way. And so let us consider stochastic differential equation simply of the following form. From the very beginning, we don't know if its solution exists and is unique, and what about its positivity. The first result regarding the existence and uniqueness of the local solution is the following one. This equation, so the solution, if it exists, it starts from the positive point. So we predict that there will be no difficulty until we reach zero. Indeed, we can state that this stochastic differential equation has a unique local solution in the following sense. There exists a continuous process yH such that we have this equation until to the first moment when it reaches zero. If we have another process that satisfies this equation until this moment, then they coincide. So until the first hitting time of zero, we have a solution and it is unique. So, but let H be arbitrary Hurst index for the moment. So here also H be any index from zero to one, because we only claim the existence and uniqueness of solution until the first hitting zero, but everything interesting starts with this moment. So it is interesting what will be after this moment. Okay. If we have this process, of course we can take its square. And we can define a fractional Coxinger Sol Ross counterpart as the process of the following form. So we know that in standard case, the solution of Coxinger-Sol-Ross process is the square of Ornstein-Uhlenbeck. Now we have not Ornstein-Uhlenbeck, but the process of the following form. So let us define the solution of Coxinger-Sol-Ross equation, if we can do it, as the square, but until the first hitting zero. Such definition of the fractional Coxinger-Sol-Ross process is naturally the following form. Let tau be the first moment of hitting zero by our yH. Then the fractional Coxinger-Sol-Ross process defined above satisfies the following stochastic differential equation. When we have here the Stratonovich integral. Why we are lucky with Stratonovich integral? Simply because of square root. Because of square root, we can take very simple function, the difference of squares. And therefore, there is no problem with this integral. Okay, so with passwise Stratonovich integral for any h, we have the following relation. So for this xh and for this yh. So we have guaranteed the existence and uniqueness of the solution only until the first moment of zero hitting. However, this result can be improved if we additionally assume that h exceeds 1/2. We know that h equals 1/2 is some limiting point for fractional Brownian motion. For h less than 1/2, it has short memory. For h more than 1/2, it has long memory. And for h equals 1/2, it is simply a standard Brownian motion. Okay, so let we have the simpler case when h exceeds 1/2. In this case, let us consider our equation that stands for square root of fractional Coxinger-Sol-Ross process. We can say that in this case, this equation has a strictly positive solution on the entire R class. So no problem with tau. This process never reaches zero. And no problem with the integral. It is no problem with y in the denominator because it never reaches zero. Okay, now the square of this process is well defined. And moreover, it satisfies fractional Cox and Gersol-Ross equation with fractional Brownian motion. And here we don't need the Stratonovich integral. We can define this integral simply as the piecewise limit of Riemann-Stieltjes integrals. In general, who deals with such integrals, it is a bit surprising for the moment. Why? Because when we consider Hölder property of fractional Brownian motion, it is up to order h, and this process follows the same Hölder property. So the square root is of Hölder property h divided by 2. And in general, Riemann-Stieltjes integral exists when the order of Hölder property, the sum of this order exceeds 1. If we have h divided by 2 and h, so we have 3h divided by 2, and we can predict only that this integral exists if h is more than 2 divided by 3. However, despite of this previous and the preliminary calculations, we have the result for all h that exceeds 1/2. This is positive moment, of course. What we can do more, let us before h exceeds 1/2. Let us define the following random variable for any fixed horizon and for any lambda from 1/2 to h. So we know that fractional Brownian motion is Hölder up to order h. So it is Hölder with any lambda that does not exceed h, is less than h. And we can define this random variable. Then what we can state concerning the solution of our equation is this not very pleasant term, of course. However, what we can state? We can state that the solution is between two values. Here we divide, here we multiply. So we can state some lower and upper bounds for it. And what is interesting, we can state that for any r, not only positive, but for negative also, this process have inverse moment of all orders and direct moments of all orders. It helps us when we wish to consider, for example, its asymptotic behavior. Now, some words about h that is less than 1/2. I put here only one result, and in general, it's not very interesting. However, what I can say, why we cannot demonstrate here very interesting results, because if h is less than 1/2, then this process exceeds zero. And the behavior it's in zero is for the moment a bit unknown. So we get a lot of results concerning it staying in zero. However, to describe all its behavior, it was not the case. What we can state? We can state that tau is the first heating moment of zero is finite. With probability 1. But if this our drift for this term tends to infinity, then of course it is natural to predict that the first hitting zero tends to infinity. We have also some results, but now I shall not go in the details for h less than 1/2. It will be interesting to have a complete picture, but we have no for the moment. So let us assume that h exceeds 1/2. And in this case, we have the square root, we have the square, and we have a difference, a notable difference from the standard Brownian case. In the standard case, we have here a coefficient of the form a minus sigma squared divided by 4, and this is a limiting point. However, what we have, if A simply is positive, then the solution is strictly positive. And of course, we don't know reflection in this case. No reflection. And if A is zero, what is interesting? The situation, when we have to the limiting point, the situation is different. The solution of the fraction counterpart of the Coxinger-Soros equation exists. And as I told, if H exists 2, 3, this solution turns out to stay in zero after heating, because in this case, we have no term that tends it to infinity. If A equals zero, it does not tend to infinity, no drift. And the solution turns out to stay in zero after hitting zero. This is its behavior when A equals zero. So if in previous case we have a reflected process, then we have simply zero after first hitting zero. This is a difference in the behavior. So, but interesting point is, okay, we have something in the limit, we have something before limit. What will be when we come to the limit? This is the most interesting point in general. So let we have fractional Brownian motion, and let we have the sequence of the processes of the following form. It is not the sequence, it is the set of the processes. However, epsilon is positive here, and we understand that it is interesting to tend epsilon to zero. So what we have is probability one. When epsilon tends to zero, we understand, of course, that this process is, when epsilon tends to zero, then the process is decrease, because we have the comparison theorem for the fractional equations as well. So this limit exists. It is clear because we have the sequence of non-increasing processes. It is well-defined, finite, and non-negative. And the limit process is the reflected fractional Ornstein-Uhlenbeck process. So when we come to limit, in the limit, we get reflected fractional process. It satisfies the equation with reflection, LH. And moreover, we have this uniform convergence on any finite interval and uniform convergence of these terms that symbolize in the limit reflected function, and we have uniform convergence of these processes to the reflection function for fractional Ornstein-Uhlenbeck reflected process. Okay, and now maybe only some words. I don't know if I have time. Maybe I have. Okay. What we have previously, we have the processes of the following form, only y in the denominator. But why only y? We can generalize these results, and generalization is a bit interesting up to my mind. So let us consider the generalization of the following form. If we have here simply y, then the reflection is from zero. But if we consider the equation of the following form, then the reflection will be from phi upstairs. Of course, we can consider the reflection from another function downstairs. But in this case, we shall consider the process of the form. Here also something like this, but we turn these terms, and it will be psi minus y. And in this case, we can consider reflection downstairs, and we can consider reflections from both limits. What is interesting, we can construct the process that will be between two borders, two curves. For example, here we consider the reflection from one curve. However, we can construct for both. But we cannot restrict, we cannot to restrict ourselves simply by fractional Brownian motion. Why? we can consider arbitrary locally lambda filter continuous noise. With arbitrary lambda, why we restrict ourselves with h that exceeds 1/2? Because here we have very specific form of the function in the denominator, the first power. So here h should be more than 1/2. However, if we have here some gamma, not obligatory one, then we can move the Hilder property of the noise to which extent. So phi can be arbitrary locally lambda Hilder continuous process of the same order lambda, and gamma should exceed this value. Also concerning this standard drift, we assume it's Lipschitz property. And under all these assumptions, the equation under consideration has a unique solution. And this solution exceeds strictly this boarding function. So it is reflecting upstairs. And this solution is called a sandwich process. However, the sandwich is from one side. Of course, we can construct a two-sided process. Now, consider the process of the following form with the same noise and with the reflection function. And L can be a reflection, not simply reflection function from zero, but reflection function from phi, in the following sense. Once again, having two unknown functions, the solution is again unique. Even when we reflect ourselves, not from zero as we have almost always. However, we can consider the reflection from any function. Okay, so this is a result concerning the sandwich process. It is, in general, it is similar to the result for fractional Brownian motion. We go to the limit. We state that the limit is well defined and finite. Limiting process satisfies the equation with reflection, phi reflection. Moreover, we have uniform convergence to the limiting process and uniform convergence of the phi reflecting function. This set of integrals tends to limiting phi reflection function. And now maybe two words concerning the simulation, because in this case, pictures are a bit interested. So we have the case when h exceeds 1/2. And we have here the reflection is zero. Now the process gets to hit zero and the reflection function increases. What we have here, we have hitting time to zero. So the reflection function is non-zero. However, here is constant and then increases. And we have the same picture for different values of h and our coefficients. But what will be when we reflect our solution, for example, from sinus? Okay, here we have sinus, here we have the reflection. Here this is solution. You see that indeed we have reflection function. Also, we can reflect the process not from zero and not from non-random function, but even from stochastic process. We can reflect the solution from, for example, independent fractional Brownian motion. You see the reflection. We can reflect it from the same fractional Brownian motion. You see the picture. So we have doing some sense everything because when h exceeds 1/2, everything is goes omega by omega. Now some references, and thank you very much for your attention.